I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol.
You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I'm glad to welcome back to the program via telephone Minnesota State Senator for Senate District 41, Judy Seeberger. Senator Seeberger, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Mike. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. We did miss last week, so we have a lot of ground to cover on things going on up at the Capitol. So I would like to start with some of the bills that you have been working on, and as they move through the committee and onto the floor, how things are going. There was a bill that you're working on concerning meals, I believe, for school children. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Senator Gustafson had her universal meals bill heard on the floor this week. And what that bill does is it guarantees that our students in public schools are fed, basically. And I can relate, you know, I was a middle school and high school English teacher. And in my classroom, I had a food pantry. It was a free food pantry. The students knew about it. It was something I supplied out of my own pocket. And, you know, students knew, even if they didn't have me for a class, they knew they could come in at any time and take food out of the food pantry. And I had it positioned so that it was accessible. And, you know, I did that because when you're hungry, you can't learn. And it's one of the easiest ways to remove a barrier to learning that students may face is by getting rid of hunger. And so I know that there was critiques and criticisms about, you know, whether, you know, families with means should be allowed to participate in this program or not. And I guess my response to that would be, you know, even if your family has money, even if your family can afford to buy meals, a lot of times kids arrive to school without meals and without being fed. And I think the simplest thing we can do to alleviate a barrier to learning is to feed the kids. So I was happy to vote for that. I think the governor is on its way to be signed by the governor, and I think it's going to make a big difference to our students in public schools.
And what exactly does the bill address, and how does it do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the bill does is it basically says that kids in public schools are entitled to a breakfast and a lunch. Right now, we have a free and reduced lunch plan, which offers a no-cost option to students who meet income requirements, who basically come from families with less income and less means. And right now, what this bill does is simply extends that to all students in Minnesota so that it's not based on family income or what the student's family may have. Every student in the state of Minnesota is entitled to a no-cost lunch and a no-cost breakfast.
All right. And that does that basically then, and we'll talk about a little bit, but does that basically then negate the lunch shaming bill that was introduced a couple of years ago?
I don't think it negates that bill because, you know, there's still a philosophy here in the state of Minnesota that, you know, we're not going to judge you or shame you regardless of your family of origin or what means you may have. This bill simply ensures that every student in every school in the state of Minnesota for the public schools is entitled to eat a lunch and a breakfast and not be hungry.
All right. That sounds good. And, of course, these kinds of bills do come with somewhat of a price tag, and which also brings up then the subject of a bonding bill that did not get done last year because of whatever reason. But you have somewhat of an update on the bonding procedure and where the procedure is at this point.
I do. We had a bonding bill that was heard this week in the Senate. It was passed in the House. It came up in the Senate. As you know, we need a supermajority vote to get that passed in the Senate. and unfortunately it did not get the votes to pass. It was due to not enough votes from the Republican Party. Their argument, as I heard it, was they want some tax cuts from the DFL before they'll agree to a bonding bill. And I hear that, and I'd like to say that before the bonding bill went up for a vote on the floor, we did have a vote to pull the Social Security tax elimination bill out of tax committee and bring it onto general orders, and I did vote for that. And that is something that the Republicans have been asking for since the beginning of session. So we did give them that, but despite that, they still didn't vote for bonding. And unfortunately, what that means is a lot of projects that haven't been funded and that have not been funded in sessions past remain kind of out there, and things are just not getting done. So it's too bad to see that. I think we're going to try to work on a cash option. As we all know, we have this surplus, we have some cash, so we're going to hopefully work on a cash option for a lot of these projects, but there's not enough cash to fund everything that was in the bonding bill. So that's going to be bad news for some communities, I'm afraid.
All right, and were there any Hastings project included in that bill?
There are, most notably the money needed for the Hastings Veterans Home. I want to say it's a little bit north of $70 million. That's something that was included in the governor's budget, that was something that was passed in the House and included in the Senate budget as well. So I have been talking to Senator Pappas, who's been working on these bills, and I think there's a way we can get that funding in a cash bill. So my fingers are crossed that the Hastings Veterans Home will see those funds.
All right, and basically, what I'm understanding then is that the bonding bill, since it didn't hit that supermajority, it's kind of dead in the water, if you will, and won't make it past where it is now, or can it be revised and brought back?
Yeah, so the way we left it is we laid it on the table, which means that it didn't outright fail. It's just it's put on the table, potentially to be taken up later, but if we don't have the votes to get it passed, it's not going to pass. So I think the next option or the next avenue here is to consider a cash bill and try to get some of these projects funded, including the construction that's desperately needed for the Hastings Veterans Home.
All right. Moving on from there, then, you also worked on a bill that addresses the issue of wage theft for subcontractors in Minnesota. What's the status of that?
Yeah, this bill keeps moving through committee, and I'm really happy to report that it was heard in another committee this week. And this bill continues to address the wage theft problem by having subcontractors misclassify their employees and fail to pay them. So it moved through the next committee with good support. And as I talk to you, I can't remember what the next committee stop is for it. That's just how fast things are moving here at the
sure.
Capitol.
Yeah.
But that did move through with good support, and I'm pleased to say that I'm hoping that this is on track to get through this session.
All right. And another one that will be generating a bit of conversation in the weeks to come, I know at the federal level, the EPA has just come out with preliminary thresholds for this, but you're crafting and working on a bill addressing PFAS in our drinking water. And what is the status and where are you at on that one?
Yeah, this is actually a series of three bills that have been moving through committee. The one that I'm working on bans the use of PFAS in firefighting foam.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, what I've learned in this process is the firefighting foam with the PFAS in it really is the most effective foam on things like oil fires and other petroleum-based fires. So the airports have had kind of a stake in this, as have the refineries, to ensure that they're not left without suitable resources to address, you know, catastrophic situations that might occur for them. And so I've been listening to their concerns, and I think we've got it addressed pretty well to make sure that their interests are protected. But what I'm also hearing is that there are viable alternatives to firefighting foam that contains PFAS that are under development and being tested and I think have been implemented by some industries. So firefighting foam that will address their needs, as I understand it, is right on the horizon, and I'm hopeful that we can be on the road to getting rid of this stuff once and for all. The two other bills are to include notifying the consumer if something has PFAS in it, and then the third bill has to do with banning PFAS and things like ski wax, cosmetics, cookware, things like that. And those were combined into one kind of little mini omnibus bill after hearing in Commerce. So I'm hopeful that those three bills now combined into one will be making their way to the floor.
All right. And that third one you talked about, I believe that that's one that Senator Bigham was working on in last session. Did that one just get picked up, or had you recrafted that bill?
That one was actually being carried by Senator Morrison, and I know she had done a lot of work on that in the House. So I believe that they were working together, or this one that Senator Morrison was carrying included a lot of work from prior sessions. So that one I know has had a lot of work done on it. And I know that these are very timely bills given the water issues now that Hastings faces mm-hmm. with the lowered thresholds of acceptable PFAS. And in my mind, no PFAS is acceptable, but as the EPA continues to lower the acceptable thresholds, additional communities like Hastings are now going to be facing issues with their water and the need to come in and ensure that the water that they're delivering to their residents is safe and as safe as it can be.
And yeah, that's, and I guess moving forward on the PFAS thing is good, reducing that threshold and really monitoring what's going on. But it does any of this legislation or any of these guidelines really help with the presence that's already there? Say like up in Cottage Grove, they have this issue where the things, you know, the stuff is already in the ground. And I know the 3M settlement helps them to deal with it, but it almost seems to me at this point like trying to put toothpaste back in a tube, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're really taking a two-pronged approach here. One, these bills that I just talked about will prevent the introduction of any more of this into the environment, which is an important step to stop the additional introduction of PFAS into the environment.
Right.
The second avenue, of course, is to deal with the PFAS that's already out there. And so you and I have talked in the past about the need for Hastings to be able to avail themselves of some of the 3M settlement funds, and if not those funds, then some other monies that need to be made available to communities like Hastings and others that now face this situation that's not of their own doing. So that's kind of moving along on a separate track. I don't have a good update for where we are on that, but it is something that's moving forward so that Hastings can get relief from the situation that they're now in with regard to the PFAS in the water.
Sure, and I understand that. The legislation you're working on now helps to close the gate to help mitigate the future introduction of that into our society or into our soil is what I meant to say.
Right.
So I'm glad that you guys are continuing to work on that, and I hope that those outcomes work best for everyone involved. One of the things that we got that I'd like to talk about here with the few minutes that we have left is that you are going to be out about in the public and making some appearances coming up. So tell me a little bit about your travel itinerary, if you
will. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a nice break from being at the Capitol. We've been working so hard here. It's good to get out into the community and see some of the good things that are happening out there. I'm actually going to be at the Firefighters for Healing Center. And what it is it's a temporary housing center for families who have loved ones that are in the burn center at Hennepin County Medical Center. And it's a wonderful organization. I may have talked about it before, but it's kind of like a Ronald McDonald House for the families of burn victims.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go tour that. I do have a bill that I've introduced for some, a little bit of additional funding for them. Those folks do such good work. So I'm looking forward to seeing that center and getting a real sense for the lives that it helps.
All right. And, do you know approximately how many, what the capacity is at that facility for families that are tending to loved ones with that issue?
Yeah, you know, I can't call it to mind right now. I want to say they can host, you know, maybe a half dozen families or so. I know that they started out with a smaller, just a couple of apartments that they rented out of an adjacent apartment building, and now they have built a bigger center. And I'm going to learn more about it and actually see the facilities and maybe meet some of the families that are receiving the services there.
All right. And as of course, as you're out and about, there are people that you may meet that have questions or concerns, but you can't be everywhere all at once all the time, unlike what the movie says. So at this point, I'd like to give you the opportunity to provide contact information if your constituents have questions or concerns.
Absolutely. They can reach me here at the Capitol at 651-297-8060 or shoot me an email at sen.jseeberger@senate.mn.
All right, Senator Seeberger, it's a busy time up at the Capitol. We're probably about, what, just a little over halfway through the session. I encourage you to, you know, keep doing the good work that you're doing, and I appreciate the time that you can spend with our listeners to let us know what's going on. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.
During this trying time in our ever-changing world, KDWA wants you to know some things will always remain the same, and that's our commitment to you, our listeners. KDWA is your only local full-time media source, bringing you what you need to know 24/7. Thank you for trusting in us. We're here for you. KDWA. Visit us online at kdwa.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hastings has its own story to tell, and KDWA has been helping to tell the story since 1963. KDWA brings the info to you on the air at 1460 AM or 97.7 FM and online at kdwa.com. Tune in at 5 past the hour, 7 days a week, for the latest in Hastings, Prescott, and Dakota and Western Pierce County.
In this ever-changing world, always remember that KDWA has been serving you since 1963, bringing you daily news, sports, weather, obituaries, and community events that you need to know. KDWA, AM 1460 and 97.7 FM, and online at kdwa.com. KDWA is your only daily media in the area, and we're here for you.